Perek Chet, and that is called Perek HaTanur. It's Perek HaTanur as opposed to Perek Tanur before, so it's easier to remember as HaTanur Shechotzetzo. Here is the big issue of the difference between Tocho and Toch Tocho. Remember that we have this amazing halacha kol asher you pull it Tocho, but if it's inside of something which is inside, then it's not considered to be betocho. So what does that mean? So let's say that we split up the inside of a tanur, and we put a curtain down the middle, or we put boards down the middle, and now we have sherets in one and not in the other. That's not considered to be a non-tocho. All of the oven is one toch. I don't even hang what you put in it. You can't turn an oven into two ovens by putting a curtain in the middle of it. If you have a kaveret, which is like a basket, and over there you've got a hole in it. Okay, so now let's imagine the case over here. You plugged up that hole using, let's say, straw. You put the entire basket into the airspace. So then if the sheretz is in the basket, the tanur is tameh. And even though the sheretz is all wrapped up with this other stuff, that's not going to protect it. It's inside of the tanur. Vice versa, if the sheretz is in the tanur and you have food in the basket, it's inside. I don't care what there is around it. Rebbe Eliezer says, no, either way, it's actually prevents the tuma. So if you have something inside of the basket, it won't be metame, the tanur. And if you have something in the tanur, that won't be metame, the food in the basket. And his amazing approach is that this needs to be understood in the context of tumas mace, where you can be matzil with a tzomit pasil. So if you could be matzil with a tzomit pasil, which is very chomor, that means that you could turn even an ohel ames into two different rooms, and one is considered to be tocho, and one is considered not to be tocho. So obviously it should be able to be matzil in the simple case over here. Now, of course, we argue on that entire yesod. If the basket is a whole basket and it has a din of a kli, or forget about a basket, whatever it is that it is, you could be talking about a chemes, a kupa. So the halacha over there is if the sheretz is in it, then that's considered to be toch tocho. If a sheretz is in the tanur, then the ochlin are toch tocho. And the question would be, okay, but what happens if there's a hole in these kli, these kalim? And remember, we're talking about over here that the top is outside of the tanur. If the top is inside the tanur, then the whole thing is in the tanur. So, but what type of hole would make it no longer a kli that would go according to its own place? So if they were nikvu, so again, it would be the same shear as the normal nikvu. If it was a hotzah for zeisim, if it's made for food, then it no longer protects. If it's made for mashkin, then if mashkin leak out, it no longer protects. And in this case, we would go l'chumra. In the other case, we do it the other way, the chumra would be. But over here, once it's bekonis mashka, it will not protect. When we're talking about the kli being mekabel tuma, it was the other way around. As long as it would be usable for zeisim, it would still be able to be mekabel tuma. So this is a situation where the kula and the chumra invert themselves. Another example of something that's not considered to be a kli and therefore not shayach to having its own toch would be a case of a plate, let's say, that you put on top of an oven. And the plate is made out of also earthenware, and it goes into the oven. So it's a bowl, and the bowl goes into the oven, and it does not have a rim around it. So then the halacha is, if the sheretz is in the plate, and it's in the inside of the bowl, and therefore it's inside of the oven, since that din of the serida, it has holes in it, it's actually a kli, it's not toch tocho. And therefore, it's the time of the oven, and any food in it would be tummy from the oven if there's a sheretz. Because you need to understand, only a kli shalem can be matzil from a kli cheres. And in a case where you've got a barrel full of mashkin tahorin, it's placed on the ground so that the oven has a place where the ground sinks in. You put it inside, and this was a case where you had the hole underneath the oven, and the oven comes up around the side. You put this down on the bottom, and the rim comes up to the place of the airspace, but it doesn't go into the airspace. So then if the sheretz is in the tanur, the oven obviously is tameh, but since it hasn't penetrated into the airspace of the oven itself, the sunken piece in the ground is not going to be makabel tumah because it's not sticking into the airspace. If it's the opposite, where over there you had the barrel itself was actually the case that was tameh. So we had spoken about the sarida, but here if you have the barrel that has tar in it and it's now in itself, it was empty. Sorry. We put it upside down and it's sticking into the space of the tanur. So then if the sheretz is in the tanur, if you've got little moisture, drabmashke tofeach, on the outside of this barrel, which is upside down, they're sticking out above the tanur, and therefore everything remains tohar because kalim cannot be mekabel tumah, remember, from a tameh tanur. And that was an extremely important halacha because it's the basis of our understanding of two very important dinim that I want to remind you of, and then I'll stop because I don't want to keep you. But remember that if we understand a tanur to be metame in its avir because it's viewed as being mole tuma, which would mean that if a sheretz falls into the avir of the tanur, the entire airspace is viewed as one big sheretz, then there would be no explanation of why a kli inside of that tanur would not be mekabel tumah. And yet it says, kol asher betocho yitma, and then it explains, mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel. You see, why would it only be mikol ha'ochel? Why can a kli become mekabel tumah? So you have a kettle inside. Why would it be mekabel tumah? Because it hasn't touched an avatumah, you see? So that's two different dinim we learned from there. A, that a kli can only be mekabel tumah from an avatumah, and B, this is a case where it's not in touch with an avatumah. Why? Because the way to view the sheretz in a tanur is not that the sheretz is in touch the way that we view a mace in an ohel. The mace is in touch with everything in the ohel, and therefore, it's as if you were Nogea B'meis. No, it's nothing like that. Over here, the Avir simply serves as a way of transmission of the Tuma to the Kli Cheres, not to anything else. So the Kli Cheres becomes Tameh, and then it can radiate its Tuma to things inside of it and serve as a mocker of tuma, but it does not serve as an oil to make the entire place exposed to the tuma that's in it. And that's what we're talking about over here. So since in this case, the barrel isn't inside in such a way that the tuma could go through its top and be metameh, there's no way for it to be mekabel tuma from the fact of that there's a tameh kli cheres that it happened to be exposed to. We described as Tocho versus Toch Tocho. And that's the question that we need to discuss. So we talked about yesterday, you can't just split a tanur by putting a curtain in it or a mechitza that isn't part of the kli. So what would define Toch Tocho? So let's say we put this pot inside of an oven and you've got a sheretz inside of the tanur. Remember that the even though the oven becomes tameh, the pot is tohar because kli cheres cannot be mekabel tumah inside that are inside. There was no kli cheres. It was one of the things we spoke about yesterday, is the overall understanding of this entire idea. There is no such thing as a kli cheres being full of tumah. It's not full of tumah. It becomes tameh. And when it becomes tummy, it's only a rishon. And because of that, there's no way for it to be metame kalim. That's one very important rule. A kli cheres cannot be metame any kind of kalim, even klei shetef, like klei batechet, which can be put into a mikveh, is not going to be kapak tuma because you need to have an avatuma. And remember, yesterday we spoke out that teaches us that it's not considered to be malya tuma. Now, there is the question about whether there is a way it can become tame. And that is, of course, if there's mashkin on it. If there's mashkin, remember the takana derabonan, which allows mashkin to be matame kelim. And because of that, this is a very cute Mishnah, because the Mishnah points out that a talking pot would say to the mashkin inside of it, wow, I am shocked, because what made you tame could not make me tame, but nonetheless, you were able to make me tame. Phew, this is crazy. So there I was in a tame oven. The tame oven didn't bother me, said the pot. And then you were a little bit of liquid, you know, and that little bit of liquid, it became tame from the thing that couldn't be matame me, and then you turned around and was matame me. Boy, is that weird. Okay, so indeed, that's this very cute expression of the din of the Tumas Mashkin Drabonan, which is so completely off the wall. And because of that, of course, the Rabbanan made all of those takonas. But remember that the reason for it was the way that it's easy to confuse Mashkin with Mashkin that would be actually of a satuma. I mean, let's say somebody's got a little bit of urine on his fingers or something and he's a zav. I mean, nobody would think of the fact that, wait a second, you're talking about having mashkin, which are themselves of a satuma because they are mayones. Okay, and then we continue on in Mishnah Hay. It's where we were going through. I'm assuming you've got your Mishnahs open. I hope for you. I hope, anyway. How about a really cute case where you had a chicken that swallows a sheretz, right? And then the chicken falls into the oven. The oven isn't on. The chicken falls into the oven. So over there, the sheretz is not going to be matame because of an interesting halacha. This is also a fundamental halacha. Tuma bilu'a. It looks like it's similar to the din of tocho and toch-tocho. Nothing to do with the din of tocho and toch-tocho, as we explained. There's a special halacha of tuma belua in which things that are in the inside of a living creature are not able to be metame. This is even if they come in contact with something in the stomach of that creature. Let's say it was also a ring that touches the dead sheretz, and the ring is not going to become tame. But then the chicken dies in the oven, then the oven becomes tummy. Why? Because there's no longer a living organism, and therefore there's no bli'ah, and there's no such thing as toch tocho, except if it's in a different kli. And that would mean the basic halacha over here is that if there's a sheretz in the tanur, and you're baking bread in the tanur, what's the din of the bread? The bread is only a sheni bituma. Again, for the same reason, the tanur is makabel tuma from the sheretz, and then it radiates the tuma to the bread, and therefore it's always going to be an attenuated tuma. Now, there is something else that we need to understand as a way of preventing tuma in a toch. Fascinatingly. And that would be the similarity to an ohel hames. If you have something that is a tzamid pasil, so you have a kli, and it's got a tight-fitting top, so then it would prevent tuma from penetrating into that kli in an ohel hames. What would be the din of the equivalent case over here? If you've got a tzamid pasil inside of a tomei oven, so now you have a tocho. Anything that's inside that thing is not going to become tame because of the problem of toch tocho. So because of that, if you have something like this and it was completely sealed, you put it inside of an oven and there's something, there's food in this kli, and there's a dead sheretz and so on. So if there was a wall between them, so one of them had, let's say, a bread in it, and the other one had a sheretz in it. So the din over there is that the sheretz is actually metame, the oven, because there was nothing there that prevents the tumah from coming out. The halacha of the sealing something up with a tzomet pasil only prevents tumah from coming in. This is a tremendously full of yesodos perek. So the din, therefore, is that the tumah will go out and will be metame the tanur, but the food in the other section is a tzomet pasil, and because of that, it is not going to allow the tumah to back in. The same thing would be true mamash of tumah's mace. Let's say there's a kezias min hames, not a sheretz. There's a kezias min hames. So then the tanur itself, including the whole house in which it's in, it all becomes tummy. But remarkably, that little bit of food that was in the other part that was closed off, that would be tahar. Unless, of course, there's a poteach tefach. If there's a poteach tefach, that allows in tumah in anything. And then that would also be metame, the din of tumas meis on anything. Now, suppose you've got, what we need to decide, therefore, is what is considered to be inside and what is considered to be within the area of the outside. So it's usually you've got an ayin. An ayin is like a hole that allows air out of air out and in into an oven. So the question is, if you've got a sheretz in there, where is the inside? Is the inside begin from the outermost area that would have been the inside if we're sticking into it, or only from literally the inside? Okay, here we also need to explain, if it doesn't stick into the actual toch, then even though you might think this is considered to be an extension of the toch into the hole, it is not, and the oven remains tahor. If it was, this whole thing was not under a roof, then even if it was a kezias min hames, it would be tahor. If there's poteach tefach, then it's big enough for tumas meis to get into. Obviously, that's a different thing. And it turns out that if you find something in an area, this is a question of the suffix over here, you find something in the place that is open when you want to put in wood, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's from the outside in, that's considered to be part of the inside. In other words, for the outside wall, that's considered to be the inside. According to Chachomim, it's not. And according to Rabbi Yossi, in a kira, which we're talking about over here, if it's the area, which is, it's a completely new sheet of Rabbi Yossi, if it's keneged, the place where you put the pot on, that is considered to be the inside. Anything else is considered to be the outside. Then we have special halachas about places where you sit on things and so on. Those are details that you could go into. How about where you take a bar and you put around it some dirt, and I shouldn't say dirt, clay, and now you've got a place to put a pot on it. That is basically a makeshift kira. And if you do that, however, to make let's say glass, it's not considered to be a kira unless it has a place to put down a actual pot. But if it's only made for gas, for the glass, then it's considered to be tar, because there's another very fundamental halacha: only a tanur for food is considered to be a tanur. A tanur for melting glass does not have all of these dinim of a tanur at all. Now, speaking about tocho, all right, so suppose somebody's got food in his mouth and he puts his head into a tanur. So a person who became tummy and he touched somebody who was tummy mates, right, and he's got food in his mouth. So now the question is like this: he touched an avatuma, he becomes a rishon atuma. That mouth in, that contains the stuff becomes, all the stuff in his mouth is a sheni betuma. So if he puts his head into the avir hatanur, the din is that if the tanur is tar, they can be metame it, but the, obviously only because of the takona derabbanan of mashkin being able to be metame kalim, which is wild. Normally, of course, it would require an avatuma. This is like really far out. How about if the guy is tahar and he puts his head containing food in his mouth into an avirtan, or the halacha over there is that his head is not considered to be toch tocho and it's not balua, and because of that, the stuff in his mouth would become tame, actually. Remarkable. So this is important to understand the different halachas of coming in and going out. How about a tame, a woman who's tame, and she's leaning over an oven, which is tahar, and she's a nursing mother, and a drop of milk comes from her nipple, falls into the avira tanur. The tanur becomes tame because mashkin are metamim, and they're metamim, whether this is opposed to the din of being makshir, the din of tumah. Remember, makshir, if you don't want the liquid, then it's not going to be makshir. But when it comes to tumah, it has nothing to do about whether you want it or not, and it's therefore, by definition, it's going to be metame, even though she didn't want any of her milk dripping into the tanur, it makes no difference. And the same thing would be true about blood. Let's say she's cleaning the tanur, and she cuts her finger on something that she was in the tanur she's cleaning, and now she bleeds into the toch hatanur, and she is an isha who's tamea. Or maybe she got burned, right? She got burned, it was so hot, oh my gosh. She takes her finger, sticks it into her mouth to cool it off, and now she's got a little saliva on it. So now it becomes tame because it had either blood or saliva, which would be matame. Okay, now the question is, Rabbanah pointed out yesterday so beautifully that nechoshet, nochash, which is ofer lachmo, is the bottom of the tanner, and therefore we call the bottom of the tanner the nechushto. It's the nachash part of the tanur. And suppose we find something tameh in the actual earth under the tanur, but they're not sticking out inside into the airspace. So now the question over here would be, is it considered to be in the airspace and part of the tanur, since the tanur uses that area to heat? The din is, if you would be baking, and then the dough would start expanding, and it would expand into that area, and it would come into contact with the thing that is tummy on the bottom. Maybe it's a pin, a needle. The din is that the whole thing becomes tummy, the oven becomes tummy. And then how about if it's found somewhere else? How about if we find it inside of the insulation? So then the halacha is, if it's inside of an oven that's tummy, so then they would become tame because something that is tame cannot protect something from any tumah. So let's say you would have a tanner which is tame, then even if it's a tzomit pasil, if there was something that was mekabel tumah in it, it's going to be mekabel tumah because nothing tame is saving you in an oil ames. Same thing is true if it was tar. Obviously, then it would be considered to be part of the thing itself. And there are various halakhas that have to do with this, in which something is embedded inside part of the kli. So let's say you have something in magufas hachaves and something. It would depend whether it's in the area that is actually directly over the kli. So remember, we're sealing the barrel with the magufas hachaves, but the thing which is going to be makabel tumah are inside the magufas hachaves. They fell in while it was drying. So now the question is, they're not actually protected by a tzomit pasul because they're not in the kli, but they're part of the kli, which is itself protected by the tzomit pasul. So now the shaila is, where? Because when you make a magufas hachaves, it spreads, remember, because it's basically a piece of clay or tit, which you put on top, and it dries over the top, so it extends around the top. So the part that's actually directly above the opening, that is considered to be the part of the beged, because of the kli, because that is the tzomit pasil.